Today I'm talking to Brian McLean, formerly a fellow broadcaster, bringing real information and news to the people. But he is not doing that anymore for reasons we'll get into shortly. Brian, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thanks for inviting me. This is kind of a turnaround. I intended to have you on my program today.
I was looking forward to being on your program, The Angry Scotsman, on Blog
Yes.
Talk Radio, but unfortunately that's not going to happen. Before we get into that, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, anything that you feel comfortable telling us about yourself, your history, your background, how you woke up to this kind of information, and how you became interested in starting your own Blog Talk Radio program?
Well, I've always been entrenched in politics. I started out as your typical conservative sheep and went to college, kind of became a liberal after that. And then I sort of found myself as I started going along, and I became very strongly entrenched in the Constitution, finding out how to read legal and political documents. It just kind of went from there. I've always had a feeling that this country was kind of sliding away from the Constitution. And when 9/11 happened, I always knew that there was something that wasn't quite right about it. I woke up, I was working night shift, and I woke up about 1 p.m. after everything had transpired. And I ended up, I guess I got the advantage of seeing everything happen within a minute or two on the news. And I immediately thought, well, why the heck did they do that where they scared the building was going to fall on people? Why'd they blow it up? And I told other people this. It looked like controlled demolition. And people told me, oh, you're nuts. You're, you know. And so I kind of put that in the back of my mind. 2005, I discover an internet film called Loose Change. I watch that, and that gets me absolutely obsessed trying to find out evidence for myself. What exactly happened with 9/11. Take a look at the 9/11 Commission report and everything that, all the events that have taken place after that, how the government has taken advantage of it. And I have a background in history and political science, so I immediately start making connections to Nazi Germany, Reichstag events. And after that, I wasn't quite convinced that it was an absolute inside job until about 6 months ago when I was watching a video online. I think it was called September 11th Remembered. And about, I believe it was the time marker, between four or five minutes, they showed a news clip of the side of one of the towers, and I saw just a flash of light, the sequence of lights go up the windows of the tower, and I honestly went home and I cried after that. I knew that you know, there were explosives in there. They were hiding that, and there could be absolutely no other way except this was done. There was an inside job aspect to this. After that, I had been listening to the Alex Jones show for about a year. I've been doing my own research, and I wanted to make a difference. I've been following the We Are Change group. I'm trying to kind of start my own We Are Change group in a way. We Are Change, Fight for Iowa. And it kind of had a different twist to it. Rather than go out and film and be a journalist, I attempted to be a lobbyist, and I like to think that I helped successfully at least stall the implementation of the Real ID Act through talking to my legislatures here in Iowa.
Well, that's exciting news, and it's good to hear about that type of independent grassroots political action, which is obviously an important step in the political transformation of America. But let's get a little bit into your radio program. When did you start your Blog Talk Radio program?
I initially started late February, I believe it was last week in February, and I had had an itch to possibly do something else to get more information out, and a friend of mine who had appeared on the show a couple of times had a Democratic-leaning show that he had me on a couple of times, and so I decided to give it a try. It was called Blog Talk Radio, and so I signed up and did my first episode, and it was economics based. Primarily, I didn't intend for it to be. The first couple of episodes were based on the economy, how badly it's doing, and that we are going into a depression, and warning people, go out, secure your finances in precious metals, get a food water storage going. I just started doing that myself. And from there, I started getting into other news regarding the police state, the fall towards fascism that this country has been going into. Now, about 2 weeks ago, I reformatted the show into a caller-based program rather than just me talking at people for a half hour to an hour. And I thought it was a success. I started getting more callers. The calls started turning more towards the economy, mostly. But I believe I started getting my point across, and I had very good discussions with one or two people that were calling in. Now, this last show that I was planning on doing today was going to be my big one, and it was my 9/11 in-depth show. And I wanted to give a verbal dissertation and interview you to help me back it up, since you are so good at documenting and providing documents for certain things and links and information to help bounce back and forth the idea that 9/11 was a cover-up, and the possibility that it was an inside job to people, just get people's minds going in that direction. And I was contacted rather abruptly yesterday by a member of the Blog Talk Radio staff about that show, and of course that didn't happen.
Okay, run us through that conversation. What did this member of the staff tell you in that conversation?
Essentially, what he told me was he asked me what I intended to do with the show, and I said it was going to be an in-depth look at 9/11. And he told me, well, we've looked over your profile, and we've listened to your other episodes, and we do not want this type of material to be distributed out of Blog Talk Radio. And I then asked him what type of material that he found questionable, just to try and narrow it down. And he stated that he didn't want conspiracy theories on the show. He didn't want conspiracy theories coming out of Blog Talk Radio. And from there, I tried to let him know that I do have information and documents backing things up. It's merely my commentary and opinion and factual information to back up what I say. And I'm not intending to be an extremist in any way. I am in no way trying to incite violence or anything of that nature. I'm a peaceful person. And he said, well, perspective-wise, it sounds like you're an extremist. And there, he basically gave me the ultimatum. He told me directly, you will not do a 9/11 show. We have deleted that from your profile. And if you want to continue to do shows through Blog Talk, you will not do any more of these conspiracy theory shows. In which I got a little bit upset and kind of shot my mouth off a little bit. You know, I got the handling of Scotsman for a reason. And I said, so if I choose to be a government lapdog or only put out and play around with the official propaganda that is out there, then I'm fine. And I could have sworn he said yes. I'm not certain for sure. And I said, well, where in the policy does it state that I cannot talk about these so-called conspiracy theories? And he pointed to a certain part of the policy that stated, any information that is anything that is libelous, scandalous, so on and so forth, is not allowed. And so, at that point, not just wanting to get him off the phone, I was disgusted. I told him, "Fine, you can keep my account. I'm not choosing to go along with that."
And my understanding is they took the account down after that conversation.
Immediately. Actually, I believe it was shut down prior just prior to me calling him, is what it sounded like.
I'm sorry, did you call him or did he call you?
He contacted me through email and I called him.
I see.
He contacted me through email requesting that I call him. So I did contact him directly.
Now, for my listeners who aren't familiar with Blog Talk Radio, can you tell us a little bit about that site and how it's set up?
It's rather interesting, actually. It's technically an audio blog. You sign up for the account. You call into a special host number. You enter a PIN. And from there, you can open up a JavaScript board, board, which you can operate your show. You can put in sounds that you've uploaded, music. You can take up to 5 calls. It was actually a really innovative and interesting setup, and I give kudos to whoever developed it, and I hope that there will be other sites that open there like that, because it does, well, at least until this point, give a voice to people out there that wanted to get information out.
Right, so to make it clear, you sign up for the system and they give you access to their components and their servers, but you don't actually control any of it and they can take it away at any time.
Correct.
Interesting. So where are you going to go from here? What is your next step, do you think? Are you going to try to continue with your own website or are you finished with the internet broadcasting?
For right now, I am done with internet webcasting. I have been writing commentary for various political websites. One of them will be politicususa.com is where I'm going to be at. Now I kind of just do some journalism work and work there. And I will continue to run my 2 MySpace pages, user's name, Crawlus, which is my site, and Fight for Iowa number 4, which is my activist site. But still, for now, I am done with radio podcasting online.
That's very unfortunate, because from what I managed to hear of your show before it was taken down, it was obviously providing some real information to its listeners, and you definitely are a man with something to say. So it's unfortunate to hear that you've been silenced by this. But I think this does go to show some of the basically what's happening in our society right now, and the general view, even of the public, of these types of ideas about questioning the government. And it's a type of self-censorship that I think is going on right now. Can you speak to that phenomenon?
Yeah, actually, I thought when I got a chance to think about what had transpired, the first thing that came to mind is this is exactly the way it's going to be when Internet 2 comes around. When net neutrality is thrown out the window, we will be dictated. Our speech, our thought would be, and what appears online will be dictated by whoever owns those sites and so on and so forth. And by policy, they can be taken away. Those accounts can be taken away at any time. You can be shut down. You can be silenced. You can be censored. And that was the first thing that came to mind. And the second thing that came to mind, as I expanded that out to the rest of the United States, and looking at the EU, how it's now being ruled by policy now, basically, when the United States falls in under the grasp of the North American Union fully, that will be basically the way it is here. It will be directed by policy. And even before that, when Homeland Security sets up its terrorism board under the Homegrown Terrorism Act, it'll be even more so, because everything that you say will be scrutinized, and if it's something that they don't like, you're in big trouble. When you're talking about a nation, when you're talking about a government, they do a lot more to silence you than just pull your account.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's becoming more and more obvious, the censorship that's growing around us right now, and I think most people are waking up to that. And it is the best thing that people can do is get in the fight and use what we have while we have it, when you can still register your own domain and start your own website. like the Corbett Report. And I would encourage other listeners out there, and I would encourage Mr. McLean, I would encourage you as well to start your own website. Don't sign up for these types of spaces where they can take away your right to free speech at any time, because it's, of course, they're owned by a private company. So people should use this technology while we have it, which who knows how long that'll be.
Yes, I certainly do agree. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of the equipment, nor do I have a lot of the know-how to start up my own website necessarily, but I'm still going to try and speak as loud as I can in writing and in my actions as well, and being an activist as much as I can.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about your efforts to start a We Are Change type organization in Iowa and what you've been doing as a lobbyist.
Now, unfortunately, I haven't given it as much attention as I really should. Things have been rather busy for me. I'm a college student. I'm a family man. I work full-time. And I do what I can otherwise politically. And if something is amiss politically, I make sure that information gets out on that and that I contact necessary representatives in order to get that changed. And I do recognize that state legislators, local government still have some sort of say and power, whether it be the federal government allowing it to be so or not, and I just try my best to work through them and make sure everybody knows that they have the ability to make changes themselves, to make a difference themselves. I didn't think that I'd be able to make much of a difference taking on the Real ID Act head on, and apparently did something, because, like I said, Iowa was just going to slip right into it as of 3 days from now, and we at least have a some sort of a stall on it right now. And the one legislator that responded to all my letters and calls is part of the board that is overlooking whether or not to implement Real ID or not, and so just have to hope and wait and see and keep on pushing. But the important thing is just making sure everybody knows that they're not helpless. They're not just rag dolls that can be tossed around, and their civic duty doesn't stop at the polling booth every November. So
that's absolutely right, and it's an empowering story, I think. And I'd like to get a little bit more into the details of that, specifically what happened at the state legislature to help stop the Real ID.
Essentially, I was contacted by a state legislator, Republican, who it was kind of wishy-washy at first while I was talking with him, because he was frightened about, you know, what his state leaders party leaders would do and how this would make the party look and all this. And I thought that I was just throwing rocks at a wall. I wasn't making much of a dent. And it led to an actual meeting at the state legislature at the Iowa Capitol, and I discussed with them the possibilities and what can be done and certain issues and problems and how we can go about trying to stop this. And and I didn't hear from him for a while. I thought for certain that he had balked on me, and the way he kind of wishy-washy talked to me. And so from there, I kept an eye on the the legislation page, seeing if any changes have come about. And at the very last day of when new legislation could be brought up, a study bill came up, and that turned into an actual resolution that created a board that would file for an extension of December 2009 for the Real ID Act, and would take an in-depth look at how this would affect our state, its sovereignty, the costs that would come into effect. And I was absolutely overjoyed by this. So for now, the fight continues, and I will continue to keep on trying to push legislators. I've been trying to contact people to help me with this. I've only received one person to aid me so far, and unfortunately not a whole lot of people really open themselves up to the opportunity of making such an action against such a tyrannical bill that could that literally is a major puzzle piece in this whole tyranny that is becoming the United States. So that is basically what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to recruit, and if I can get enough people, I will get a street action together, and we will march the state legislator, this legislature, and we will march the governor's mansion. I received a letter from the governor. He was the only other one that contacted me on that, on the Real ID Act, and he said, well, we're making every possible move towards the Real ID that we can in the most cost-effective way we can. Basically patted me on the head and said, good boy, don't worry about it, we got it covered.
Well, how can people get in touch with you if in the Iowa area if they want to help out with your efforts?
They can contact me through email. That is BrianMcLean77@msn.com, or it's a little bit easier to remember. My other email is Brimac, B-R-I-M-A-C, 77@iastate.edu. And they can contact me through there. And I would be more than happy to start taking on people aboard on this fight.
Absolutely. Well, I think your story is empowering because it tells how even one person can make a huge effect. So imagine what happens when a number of people get involved in that. Obviously, the Real ID is a major issue and one that's affecting all of America, including Iowa. What are some other issues that you looked at raising concerns or raising awareness of in the future?
I will be looking at the homegrown terrorism bill. That will be one of my primary federal actions. I will be trying my best to raise awareness of this and how it is an absolutely... this would absolutely destroy the last remnants of what we have of rights. And I call it the ultra-sedition bill because in the past we've had congressional sedition boards that reviewed un-American activities, but as unconstitutional as that was, they were still run by our representatives. This is different in two ways. One, the definition of terrorism has been expanded to such a broad definition that anything that you do that's a crime is considered to be terrorism. You can have your rights taken away. You are considered an enemy combatant. You're stripped of your citizenship. That's the one of the major dangerous things. The second one is this is going to be a board that is controlled explicitly and exclusively by the executive branch, and that is under the Department of Homeland Security, which means there will be an appointed board by the executive branch, whoever might the new Caesar be that gets in there, and essentially it will curb any type of dissent. It doesn't matter if you're a peace activist, if you're a 70-year-old grandma chaining yourself to a military base, or if you're a bomb-throwing COINTELPRO madman, or at least COINTELPRO-driven, like Recreate 68. But you will still be viewed as a terrorist, and you could have your citizenship stripped. This is an extremely dangerous situation. Now, locally, I've been fighting certain laws that would cap public hearings, that would get rid of the public's right to know about certain bills before they hit the floor for a vote. They're called sunshine laws, and they've been trying to push these things as a reform of the sunshine law. And in fact, it's actually an extreme cutting of that law and the rights of the people who actually are the sovereigns of the state to and the people in control of the state. They're supposed to be in control of the state to view the legislation that's coming to the floor simply because they stated quite bluntly, they're having trouble getting bills passed because people get too up in arms about it. Had that as well as another issue that I've decided to try and take on. I'm doing research on it right now called Time 21, which sounds very similar to the issues of Trans-Texas Corridor, the privatization of public roads, the leasing of public roads, and the tolling of taxpayer-paid roads. And I'm currently doing more research into that and hope to combat it before it gets too far gone.
Absolutely. I certainly commend you in your efforts, and I think it's important that people do act at the local level where they can have an instantaneous effect and see the effect of their actions on the government officials at the local and state levels. This is where people can have the most effect, I think, and it's definitely the attack pattern that cannot be easily overturned by the COINTELPRO agents of groups like Recreate 68. Brian McLean, is there anything else you wanted to touch on in our conversation today?
At this time, no. I have pretty much spilled my guts for the most part. I might have had more a little bit later after getting some sleep. I do work night shift, but that's all I have at this moment in time. And well, I definitely appreciate you allowing me to come on and express my views and knowledge.
I certainly appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us, and I do commend you for your efforts. I know you're working long hours and doing political activism as well, so I know that internet broadcasting takes up a lot of time, but I do commend you for having done the Angry Scotsman report on Blog Talk Radio. I hope to see you doing some type of internet broadcasting again in the future, but certainly I hope that maybe once again in the future you can be a guest on the Corbett Report, come back and talk about some issues and things that's going on in Iowa.
I would be more than happy to. Just let me know.
Okay, excellent. Well, Brian McLean, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
No, thank you very much, James.